I want to talk this morning about something that's, I think that needs to sorely be done. Title of this message this morning is The Fine Art of Forgetting. You write that down. The Fine Art of Forgetting. And it's amazing to me how many people live in the past, which disturbs their present and causes them to never see their future. Because they don't forget what has happened back there. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writing to the church at Philippi says in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended," verse 13, "but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching out to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to go back to verse 13 and that one little statement in that verse. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Now, some people will forget what's behind, but never move forward. Reaching out to those things which are before. There's an action and a reaction in that verse. I want to talk this morning about the fine art of forgetting. And I want you to write this down as a point one. Forgetting is the fine art of living at our best. It is character asserting itself, not mind losing itself. I find so many people talk about church splits that happened in 1952, and we're in the year over 2006, going into 2007 at the time of this preaching. Talking about something that happened, and most of the people it happened to are dead. But they like to hash and rehash and stir up things that don't need to be stirred up. Let me say it again. Forgetting is the fine art of living at our best. If I constantly remembered all the trash that people have done me, I'd have quit preaching years ago. They didn't feed me. I used to, years ago, when I didn't have a thing, I'd go preach for a whole week, and they gave me $10. And they said if I went to Popeye's Fried Chicken and bought a Coke, they'd give me a free biscuit. That's a fact. But that never hindered me from preaching the gospel. I just called it forced fasting. I don't believe the Lord wanted me to fast that day, but it was forced upon me. And yet I went back to them churches many times. Kathy sometimes would get angry at me when people would rip me off. "Why do you go back?" I said, "Not for them, but for me." You see, because Jesus' mercy endures forever. Jesse's does have a limitation on it, but I've stretched it pretty strong. So forgetting is the fine art of living at our best. It is character asserting itself, not mind losing itself. When we dedicated this facility, we had some ministers here that had came that had really done me a lot of harm in the beginning of my ministry. Because they never believed I could do anything. So consequently, they told people that. Because I was different, and I was not like them, they didn't like that at all. They called me a court jester. But it's amazing, man, that, oh, he doesn't really preach good at all. People come because he's funny. Well, people don't drive hundreds of miles just to laugh. They're getting something. So I had an opportunity now that this was my stage to nail their hide to the wall. I ain't gonna lie, I thought about it. But only for a microsecond. But some of my friends who were with me, in fact, I'll just name him. And he preached here, Mike Wright. Mike Wright, me, we were the radicals way back when we were young. I mean, Lord, we just look at the devil and spit, boy. I mean, we jump on devil jump on us. We roll in the grass. It didn't make no difference. We got people saved and we got them delivered whether they liked it or not. We just did it. God was so good and gracious, and he seen some of these ministers that had really hurt me and tried to damage my ministry. He said, boy, Jesse, lay it on them now. And what I did was honor them. I honored them. I blessed them. I gave to them. My good friend, Michael Wright, his son works for Michael Wright. He said, Jesse, you know how to wash somebody's feet. Lord Jesus, I was just hoping you'd just hit him in the head with a baseball bat. Just knock the, he was, you know, because I mean, when they hurt me, they hurt him because we were very, very close and still are close friends. But I realized that that would not be living at my best and that it would mess up my present and totally destroy my future. You see what I'm saying? So let me say it again. Forgetting is the fine art of living at our best. It is character. What is character? Character is what you do when you're alone, not when you're in front of people. It is character asserting itself, not your mind losing itself. You see what I'm saying? Because once you let these things breed and get into you, they turn into a seed of bitterness. You shouldn't get bitter. You should get better. You see, now this is a Pastor David could preach this a lot better than I can because he's a total pastor. But it's amazing to me. I mean, I've never really been hurt much by heathens. It's them Christians. Lord, man, for some reason or another. When I went into the ministry, give you an example of this, the pastor that I was under told everyone he knew in ministry not to have me. Don't have Jesse the Planet. He's not called. Now that person is saying, I'm the one started that boy off in the ministry. Literally said it from the platform. Don't have him. Tried to get people that had booked me to cancel me. I never said a word. Never. Now, Kathy said quite a few words. She said, I tell you what, y'all let the old Jesse come up for about 30 minutes. He'll never say it again, I'll tell you that much. Because the old Jesse make you an offer. You don't refuse. Willing to go to jail for it, too. It didn't make no difference. But when I got born again, oh, Lord Jesus, this fine art of forgetting began to consume me. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching out for those things which are before. See, I focus more on reaching out those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I knew I had a high calling. It may not be high to those people, but it was high to me. I knew the Lord wanted me to preach to the world. I didn't know how he was going to get me to the world. I didn't know, because you see, you got to understand, when I got out of the rock business, I had quite a bit of money. I was doing very well. But then I gave it away because I thought being poor was where it's at. Boy, that's the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. I thought Jesus would really love me if I give all my money away. And he really loved me when I had money. When I didn't have it, wasn't the issue. But all of a sudden I realized I couldn't get out of town. That the devil had used something to shut down my ministry through my lack of knowledge of understanding what prosperity meant. So when the Lord told me to go preach, watch this. In, what's the name of that place over there by, where y'all live, brother? By Desalman's there, that road up. Bayou Gosh. I went to Bayou Gosh. I preached the big spots. Pecan Island. The Isle of Little Jean Charles. Ever heard of that one? That's called Jean Charles Island. Montague. Chauvin. Church Point. What's someone in town? Lord Jesus. Berg, Calhoun. I went to place, but I went to Bayou Gosh, and I had to pray to have enough gas to get there. My offering was phenomenal, $35. All I needed was 33. I needed a tire. Oh, God. Can you give me just enough to get a tire? And he obeyed me. My faith was at $33. But he gave me $35. He more than enough. And the Lord said, I could have given you $3,500, but you wouldn't accept. All you could have fucking just get $33. My faith has always worked. Sometimes I didn't want it to work. But you know, I got so excited and the pastor was so embarrassed. I said, you don't realize My tires look like onions. They slick. I was so excited. But the Lord couldn't give me what I couldn't receive. See. And sure enough, do you know I was criticized for preaching in Bayou Gosh? Not by the Bayou Gosh people or that wonderful pastor, but by other people. I don't know why they asked that boy to go down there. You know, he gonna mess up everybody. They were so glad I came. They was glad anybody come to Bayou Gosh. That was way back when, boy. I had brown hair and one suit. But it was character asserting itself, not mind losing itself. This fine art of forgetting. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Some of y'all need to do that today. Some of you have had some mistakes and problems, but don't ever bring them to the future. You know why so many people leave the word of faith or leave the faith, quote, quote, message? They call it a movement. I don't call it a movement. I call it a lifestyle. A movement is something you do when you go to the bathroom, I guess. I don't know. Let me just get blunt here. Lord, look at Kat. She start waving there. Oh, Jesus. I ain't talking about being moved here. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I just forgot what I was going to say. I thought that was funny myself. Yes, I know where I said. I want to make sure Kathy's listening. The reason why so many people leave, quote, the faith message, they pick up the shield of faith, but the problem is they carry the darts with them that Satan has shot at them. I mean, darts that are so old, they've lost the color in them. And it makes that shield very, very heavy. See, that faith stuck on, huh? When the Lord said, take the shield of faith, but don't carry the darts. And the darts are the things that people have done you that shouldn't have done you. See? And knock them off. Because the shield of faith is actually very light, but it's very, very strong. You see what I'm saying? But if you carry the darts of life, it makes the faith message seem like it doesn't work and that, I ain't doing this no more. See? So I made up my mind. I've had many opportunities to fail. You've heard me say it, but I just don't take any. I'd rather be a success going somewhere to succeed than a failure going somewhere to fail. That's what Paul was saying, forgetting those things which are behind. Or in other words, I've been persecuted bad, but people say that's what he sowed when he was a sinner. That's true, but once the blood of Jesus washed it away, that reaping doesn't come back to you. You start off on a new day. It's like a lady one time came for one of my altar calls and prayed the sinner's prayer and was told to gloriously say, but she was bothered by lack of righteousness. She was a newborn baby. She said, I have to talk to you. This was way back years ago in Bastrop, Louisiana. I'll never forget it. Beautiful woman, gorgeous lady. And she looked at me and she was just crying. She had just got saved. I said, what's the problem? She said, you don't know how bad I've been. I said, oh, you don't know how good you are. She said, but I've committed adultery. I said, no, you didn't. She said, yeah, I have. I said, no, you didn't. She said, yeah, I have. I said, no, you didn't. You've never committed adultery. She said, I haven't. I said, no, you haven't. She says, seems like I remember I did. I said, well, you may remember you did, but you didn't. She says, that doesn't make any sense. I said, what did you just pray? She said, well, I believe in my heart and confess in my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, I'm saved. I said, girl, you're only about 4 minutes old. Your past is gone forever. That woman lost it. She just lost. She, man, went to shout. I said, never speak of it. Because God said, what'd she say? What'd she say? I said, something she didn't mean. Something she don't even know. See, the devil was trying to bring up her past to her. To destroy and to even, hurt her salvation. I don't care what you did. You could be a murderer before you were born. Once you let the blood of Jesus wash your sin away, you are pure and have become the righteous. God has the fine art of forgetting in him. So when you bring up something you did before you say it, the Lord say, what? Well, I've been here all this time and I don't see that. And I believe if you would have done that, I would have known it. Because he can't even remember it. Now, a lot of time Christians love to go to the sea of forgetfulness. Because they never get rid of their scuba gear. They want to dive into that hole for some reason or another, pull up something that you've heard, ask the Lord to forgive you. You see what I'm saying? And what's going to happen, most of them that do that drown in your trouble. So forgetting is the fine art of living at its best. It is character asserting itself, not mind losing itself. Write this down. Forgiveness is the heart's forgetfulness of an injury. Isn't that good? Forgiveness is the heart's forgetfulness of an injury. Think about that. When someone has injured you, but that forgetting is the heart's forgiveness for that. So, now when I see those people that hurt me, and I had to really ask the Lord to help me remember. He said, I can't help you remember. I don't know what you're talking about when I was developing this today. I said, let me go back in some of my old notes. So I went back, and a lot of time I would write things, you know, just not sermon, just write stuff. And I said, oh yeah. So I destroyed them after this sermon. I said, yeah, I remember that guy. Because I would go to a church and I would write down what I preached, you know, and how many people. And in those days, you know, it didn't take much, a piece of paper about that big, you know, things of that nature. And I would write down, I preached at this place at a certain date. And the brother and had a wonderful meeting and lost a lot of weight. Which means they didn't give us an offering. I'd write it down. They didn't give any offering, but that's okay. What I'm going to say to Kathy when I get home. Because Kathy would always ask me, did you eat? Oh, yeah. But did it? Oh, no. One time I brought her with me and they put her on the floor in a Sunday school room. Remember that cat said, well, where are we going to sleep? I said, on the floor in the Sunday school room. There was two big roaches going, ha, 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 ha. Kathy said, I ain't sleeping here. I said, woman, you called to the ministry. She said, no, you are. I'm going home. I ain't sleeping on the whole floor. But we did. She persevered. Hallelujah. It was just something. Forgiveness is the heart's forgetfulness of an injury. I went preaching at a church one time and they locked the pastor out of his office. Both of us couldn't get in the church. I was the guest speaker. He said, we don't like him, but we don't like you. I said, well, let's go eat. Serious, I'm not kidding you. That church is no longer in existence today because they hurt two men that were anointed of God. He said, I ain't got no money to go eat. I said, well, neither do I, but we can go smell. I'm serious as I can be about it. So we walked into a place where there's a buffet. We just walked in. It's a table for four. We said, yes. We had a dime between us. And the people said, Brother Jesse, can we buy your meal? I said, sure. Can we buy this man? Oh, yes, please. Help yourself. Already had forgotten that injury. Forgetfulness or forgiveness is the heart's forgetfulness of an injury. See, Paul could have really laid it on some people. But he's forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching out to those things which are before. Press toward the mark. See, if you look at your goal, I've said this here before. If you focus on your priorities, you will eliminate all your confusion. People ask me all the time, how do you seem to get something done? Well, I don't look at all the trash around it. I just look at what I'm believing for. See, people say, how do you seem to, money follows you. Well, yeah, it does. The anointing of it increases on me. But you see, I tell people when receiving an offering, never forget to tell people what they've done. Never forget to tell them what they're doing. And never forget to tell them what they're going to do. Now, Happy Caldwell in Little Rock, Arkansas, loved that. He uses that a lot of times on his telethon when he's receiving offerings to fund the TV network there. You never let people forget what they've done. I told that to a person in Birmingham. I want to thank you for helping me way back when. And I never forget to tell people what you're doing. Thank you for linking up with me today. And we're reaching and touching people. And thank you for what you're going to do. See, I'm calling those things would be not as though they were. You see what I'm saying? And when you understand that, it makes people feel worthy of what they're doing. You see, and it's just truly amazing how God does these things. So forgiveness is the heart's forgetfulness of an injury. Write this down. Ingratitude is the heart's forgetfulness of a favor. Ingratitude is the heart's forgetfulness of a favor. A lot of people have done me favors. They've helped me. And for me not to say thank you would be a spirit of ingratitude. Am I correct? Now, when Kathy talked to me about being a blessing to the young people, you know, I have never, ever had anybody in my life growing up in church pay for me to do anything for God. No one ever told me. I always went to a church, if you want to go, you got to pay. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that when Kathy said, Jesse, would you mind if I rent this whole TV, theater and we'll invite all our youth and they can invite a friend to that? I said, no, as long as we can go. Why? Man, when there's Coke and popcorn, Jesse coming. I like that better than an offering. I can eat popcorn for dinner. That's how much I like popcorn. I don't know why I like popcorn so much. But a lot of times, Cassie, what do you want for supper? Then I said, oh, Lord. I said, I didn't eat much today. Get me a large popcorn. And then she got mad at me the other day. I bought some popcorn and she said, I ate most of it. Well, I hadn't had a chance. I couldn't get my hand in the bag. Boy, she had her hand in the bag. I'd go there, she'd put me back. I said, did she get mad at me because she ate it? What's wrong with that? I said, well, Lord. She said, you should have got a bigger bag. I said, you told us to cut back. So I bought a small bag. What's the matter? She said, what's the matter? We lost money today? No, I just bought a small bag. Forget it, Mama. I'm going to get you a 55-gallon drum full if you want some. I don't want no ice cream. I said, okay. She like ice cream sandwich. I don't want no ice cream. I said, all right. I go there. She said, you didn't get no ice cream? What? No, you told me not to. Do you believe that? Well, not no more. Ingratitude is the heart's forgetfulness of a favor. I told Kathy yesterday, she was coming down the stairs in the house. I said, you know, Kathy, we sure have had a good life, hadn't we? I said, you know, the Lord has been gracious. We've done well together. And we're totally opposite. But she's becoming more and more like me every day. Before, Kathy was such a sweet person. She wouldn't say nothing, just quiet. Now, hey, hey. She reminded me of Chili Dog. Hey, hey. You know the one to tell me. But I tell you what, I needed someone to tell me, hey. You know, glory to God. I said, girl, she would never say, not no more, son. She'll jump up there in a second. And I mean, you know, but Kathy's always had gratitude for what I've done for her. She's always said, thank you. And I like to tell my partners all the time, I hope we say thank you enough. How many times? You know, but I found this, that you got to be careful that when you are a person of gratitude, that a lot of people can abuse that. And before you know it, they just like you because of what you can do for them. But you know, you just forget about it and go on. Now you see, I'm talking about the fine art of forgetting. That doesn't mean you go back into that same hole and let somebody beat your brains out. There's some people you have to keep at arm's length. Not you don't hate them, you just got to keep them at arm's length. Ain't no use to go over there because you're going to wind up in a fight. Right? So you love them in the Lord. Stay away from them. Keep them at arm's length. People say, well, that's not Christian love. Yes, it is. You didn't hear Jesus go running up to the temple. I hadn't seen y'all in a while, Fancy. How y'all doing? No. But he went to the cross for them. You see what I'm saying? So, let me say it again. Ingratitude is the heart's forgetfulness of a favor. I've had people say, how you remembered that I did that? Yes. And I said, I want to say thank you that you blessed me and you helped me. Oh, it wasn't that much. Yes, it was. No one else ever thought of it. A lady gave me a gift the other day in Pasadena, Texas. And the first thing she said, you might have heard me say this, I mean, it was last week, she said, you know, it's not very much. I said, well, no one else has done it here, and there's 1,500 people out there. Must be something. Thank you for thinking of me. Well, you know, I don't have a lot of money. It has nothing to do with that. Just thank you for thinking of me. You didn't have to. There's 1,500 people that say they love Brother Jesse. I ain't seen one of them come in here yet. But you did. She cared. Now, did I need what she gave me? No, it didn't have anything to do with it. I needed. But you know what? I needed someone just to tell me they loved me that day. And she did it with an action of something sweet and nice. Gave me a little plaque. Very kind. Had a rose on it. She didn't have to. When people come to my meetings, I thought all those people coming, like, remember, they went up in that bleachers up there and all that. I thought, you know, they didn't have to come here. It would be very wrong for me to say, well, bless God, how come that seat's empty? You ever notice when a preacher starts preaching and he'll start chewing you out, and he's chewing you out because of the people that are not there? Huh? And you think, hey, we're here. Go tell them, we're here. We're with you, man. We're with you. You ever notice that? Isn't that amazing? That's really true. How many times you try to bless? You know, one thing I'm glad I'm not. I'm glad I don't have your job, Brother Pichon. Lord, this man can build anything. But when you build stuff for people, people can get you fill in the blank. He can very well. You work as hard as you can. You're trying to get, hang on. It ain't over yet till the fat lady sings. Calling me a fat lady? No, I call you a fat lady. Lord Jesus, what it takes. I used to tell people when we built our house, I told our contractor, I said, listen, you see me, forget me. Do whatever she says. Because if you don't, both of us are going to have trouble. Do what she says. So I believe in saying thank you. And what's wrong with that? I saw a person not long. I said, thank you for what you did. You blessed me so much. I can't believe you remembered that. Oh, I do remember that. Why? Because, see, you did something that helped my future. And you showed me how to love when I didn't know how to love very much. Isn't that amazing? One time, I'll say this real quickly. I hardly ever go to hospitals, not because I don't want to, but pastor does that. Some of those pastoral care. I'm traveling all the time. But I was preaching for a good friend of mine. Oh, he just, Brother Sidney there in Silsby, Texas. Oh, great guy. Great guy. Him and Gwen. Oh, Sidney Woods and Gwen Woods. They're wonderful people. There. Make a long story short, he had to go visit someone. Somebody going to his church. And I was with him. They was going to go eat lunch. Okay? So he said, do you mind if I stop by for a sec? I said, no, I don't mind. He said, just stay in the car, but I'll just be there for a minute. I said, fine. Well, I'm sitting in the car. When he drove up to these people's house, it reminded me of a house I used to live in when I was a small, small boy. It was a mobile home with a built-on room to it. That's all Mom and Daddy had in those days, I remember. But it was clean as a whistle. You could eat off my mama's floors. Now, watch this. Well, to make a long story short, I just got out the car. And it had a cyclone fence around the whole yard. I mean, the front yard and the backyard. They just closed it in, you know, way back when. Well, I just walked in there. Well, Brother Sid, he said, oh, but just something okay. I said, no. I said, man, this reminds me of my mama's house. And I just sat down. I said, y'all got anything to eat? They said, we certainly do. And Sidney couldn't get over it. I said, Sidney, if you got business, go on and do it. I think I'm going to stay here. I said, you know, after I eat, I like to take a little nap. You think that'd be all right? They said, man, we got a bed. Yeah. I was so at home. I was now 7 years old. And it wasn't, it was clean as a whistle. I felt like mama was alive again. And I was home and I was a little boy. And she said, we always keep a little bit on the stove just in case you want a snack. That was mama too. I had myself a wonderful time. You know, I went back to this church several times. That people now have gone home to be with the Lord. But every time I saw them, I said, thank you. Thank you. Oh, Brother Jesse, it was just some corn. And I said, you don't understand. You blessed me. And now they've been gone for quite a while. I still think about that. Why? That's gratitude. But ingratitude is the heart's forgetfulness of a favor. That was a favor. They didn't have to do that for me. See, write this down. Anger is the explosion of an overheated memory. Anger is the explosion of an overheated memory. Now, I'm preaching this morning. Let me get funny after a while. I just want to do a little preaching here on the fine art of forgetting. Anger is the explosion of an overheated memory. Have you ever had something that happened to you 10 years ago? You start thinking about it and get mad as a hornet. That's God, I'll tell you one thing. How many times somebody said something and they leave and 2 days later, you get mad because you didn't say what you really wanted to say. Come on, hold your hand up. Is that true? There you are. You ever drove down the road with your fuse hanging out your window? Just let somebody pull in front of you, sucker. You're going to catch it today. Huh? Have you ever done that? Just look for somebody to spark it, buddy. Huh? You haven't been there? One time we went to New York to preach, me and Kathy. We didn't know nothing about New York people. They're a little different. I love them, but they're different. So we standing there waiting. And he says, wait to be seated. I think his name is, how did he say that? That sign. They didn't have a sign. So we sat ourselves. Nobody was there. So we sat, we knew. So we sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Now Kathy don't like it. She get hot about that. She said, where the people? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know. First time I've been here. I don't know. So finally, I mean, after a good while, Kathy goes, excuse me. And you don't do that. Don't, you're like to lose your snapper. You go. No sound. Excuse me. Could we get something to drink? Could we have some menus? How did she say that, Kathy?
Well, that's what you get for seating yourself.
She said, well, that's what you get for seating yourself. Oh, you should have seen Kathy. I mean, the fingernails come out. Even the fake ones popped off. Pow, pow. That's when she used to wear fake fingernails. She don't do them anymore, I don't think. I don't know. Get too much trouble. Oh, Kathy was hot. I said, y'all can bring the food cold because Kathy, my wife going to be so hot, it's going to be steaming when it touches this table. That's what you get for seating yourself. And Kathy says, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I said, look, you're going to give her your whole body here in a minute, Mom. Not just a piece of your mind. I mean, Kathy's hot. I said, what do you want me to do? I got two women there. Now, the waitress is mad. Kathy's mad. And it's just me. I ain't saying nothing. I said nothing, man. Both of them would have told me, shut up, okay? I mean, and it took a while. And then the food wasn't that good. Now watch this. Kathy said, can you believe we sat down there? And all that time, that food was not that good. I said, it was not good. I was agreeing with her. I ain't going to say, oh, it was good. Because, Lord, what do you mean? You? it was irritating. And you know, that's been 10 years, huh? Not too long ago, we was in the car. Kathy said, you remember that stinking waitress? I said, no. Anger is the explosion of an overheated memory. Forgetting those things is all behind. I know what she's thinking. Why don't you bring up some of the stuff you remembered? Yeah, why me? Why not? I'm the one who got the microphone, that's why. Yeah, it's amazing. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Don't try that. Don't say, I'm going to get angry, I'm not going to sin. No. Best thing to do is walk away from that as much as you possibly can. Anger is the explosion of an overheated memory. Now you see, when you forget those things that are behind, you know what causes a lot of this stuff? Worry. Write this down. Worry is the inability to forget the troubles that may never happen. You ever worry about stuff that never happens? Boy, talk about a life of frustration, huh? Worry is the inability to forget. It's the inability to forget the troubles that may never happen. I know I'm going to hang that picture up, but it's going to fall down. And you had it there for 20 years. It still hadn't fallen. You still come and say, I tell you, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to fall down one day. Yeah, after you dead. Why worry about something that will never happen? Worry is the inability to forget the troubles that may never happen. You see, I don't allow people to inject me with things that won't happen. When I went to build this facility, well, you know, now, brother Jesse, you must try to get ready to go borrow some money. No, I refuse that. Who do you think you are? I am not going to accept your worry. Because that's not going to happen. Oh, people get mad at you because they judge you by their mistake. And they figured if they made a mistake, then certainly you will too. Not necessarily. Not that you better. I mean, just maybe you might have thought it out quicker. Thought it out longer. You see what I'm saying? I won't let people inject me with things, with their failures, so I can fail, so they can feel better about themselves. I don't go through half the junk that a lot of pastors and preachers have. Why? Because I refuse it. Well, I tell you one thing, it's just part of the ministry, not part of mine. I refuse to have financial deficit in my ministry from the day I went into the ministry. And now in all these years I've been preaching, Lord, I have never, ever had a financial deficit. I got a check for $35, but all I need was $33. I was always, and you know what they said? Oh, it's just, no, I just will not do that. That makes people mad when I don't worry about something that's not going to happen. And when I tell them it's not going to happen, oh, Lord, who do you think? It got anything to do who I think. It's what God said. Now, oftentimes I've wanted to manipulate the scripture, forgetting those things which are behind. Just slap somebody and say, I forget it. No, you can't do that. That's doing that stuff on purpose. Worry is the inability to forget the troubles that may never happen. May never happen. So I just made up my mind. I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. And that makes people so mad. Oh, what do you mean? How many times I got to say it? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. I remember my mama. My mama never spanked me. My mama whooped me. Anybody ever got whooped in here? Oh, yeah. Have you ever been whooped? So we've got a whooping coming. Mama said, now mama thought I was never a stupid boy. Mama said, lay down here, I'm gonna whoop you. I said, do I got stupid wrote across my face? Oh, that would make mama mad. You think I'm gonna lay down here? Woman, if you ever hit me, you gonna be running to hit me. You understand what I'm saying? You gonna have to catch me, bind me, hold me, do what you got. Lay here, and I'm gonna, I said, after I talked to my daddy about it, he said, it makes sense to me, Mama. Why would the ball want to lay there while you're beating your brain? Mama said, shut up, Paul. Every time I got hit on the fly. My mama was real kind of fat. And she is real fat. And she couldn't pick them. We used to have them old real heavy beds, them iron beds. Remember those big old iron beds? I mean, spring, you know, jump up. Well, man, and they were real low to the ground. I slide underneath that bed and grab them springs. And mama moving the bed, and I'm going with the bed. You come out here, I'm going to beat your brain out. Oh, you crazy woman, I ain't going. Don't call a woman, too. I'd say, are you crazy woman? I was only 5 years old. Call me woman. You call me mama. Not right now. I want to call you something I can't call you because grandpa said it. And she starts swinging the belt. I just hang on. She said, you're going to get hungry, you little heathen. Wait till you come out. I stayed underneath that bed all day long. I asked my brother, wait, she's still mad? Yeah, she's mad. You're going to die today, Jesse. I want you to know that. But I'm going to go to your funeral. I want you to know that. Then daddy came home. Where's that boy? He got that bed. So daddy picked the bed up, and I'm still hanging on to the spring. Mama thought, this has got a whiplash. Wee-ah! But she beat me hanging on to them strings. Got a whooping. Then she want to hug me. You ever been slapped and your mama want to hug you after that? I won't hug my mama. You hug me. I have to say that when I said, hell no. Y'all excuse my French, but hell came down that day. I won't let you know. She beat me again. Don't you ever say that. That's not cussing. That's Cajun. Some of the people on the internet went, oh, that ain't cussing, that's Cajun. Just come down here. You'll hear that quite often. Mama said, don't let that boy ride that bicycle on the road, gonna kill himself. Worrying about something that never happened. And my daddy used to say, it's okay, I'll make another one look just like it. Don't worry about it, Mom. He gonna be all right. That boy, he can make it. Now, people get mad because another thing that infects a lot of people's lives is a little word called envy. Amen. Or envious. Boy, when somebody's envious or envy of you, write this down. Envy is forgetting one's own possessions and over-remembering those of others. Envy is forgetting one's own possessions in over-remembering those of others. You know, when I see somebody that's living better than me or got something better than me, you know, I shout. Richie, I shout about that. I say, Lord, look at that. Ain't that wonderful? But most people don't have that in them. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what anybody got in. Especially family. Oh, geez, if you got a little nicer house than someone else, just the hips move when they talk. Just yeah. You invite them to dinner. Holiday dinner. What's the matter? You don't think I can cook? You don't think we can prepare dinner as big as you? No, I just thought maybe you'd like to have some dinner. Don't come. Just don't. It starts an argument. You get a new dress. Did you get it on sale? That's envy. You buy a new car and you work so hard for it. And one of the family members says, I got mine better than yours. How many people have been there? Come on. Envy, boy. Envy is forgetting one's own possessions in over-remembering those of others. Have you ever eat Christmas dinner? One of your sister brothers says, I cook this better than they do. But I'm going to eat it not to hurt their feelings. My God. You give your kids too much. Why? Because you don't give yours any? Whoa, y'all been there, haven't you? Whoa, man, my daughter, I mean, we love giving Jody things. We only had one daughter, you know, we only had one child. Oh, Lord Jesus. I had my own family get mad because I blessed my daughter. My mother, I can say that because she's dead now, because she beat me. She said, you don't spank that girl enough. I said, I've never spanked. Well, I take that back. I did spank her one time. It still bothers me. She was 5 years old. I said, Jody, I wouldn't have done it, but your mama made me do it. Let me tell you, I hated that. Now, Kathy, and I was wrong. I should have been more of a disciplinary person than Jody, but I mean, Lord. I said, well, you want me, boy, mama got mad. I said, you want me to just hit her so you feel better? Ooh, because see, when you touch Jody, you touch me now. See? And I told Jordan, I said, Jordan, you're a girl, and you take it, you know, I mean, you know, you got to watch your temper because you come from a whole line of crazy people. Some little boy really liked Jordan. Jordan must have been 8 years old. That was the funniest thing I've seen in my life. We was on One North Kane Court, and I guess he was in Houma, Louisiana. He liked her, and she didn't like him or something like that, and he took karate. And Jordan whipped his butt, just whipped his man. Jody ran back, pow, popped in blood all over the car. She said, Dad, I had enough of him. I said, you're acting just like your grandma. My mama do the same. My mama hit you in the face in a second. Man, she can't fight you like a man. The man come over, his little boy crying blood. He said, listen, I'm glad he didn't hit her because he know karate. I said to myself, Jody broke his face. Jody, we're trying to get people saved. Well, you can get them healed too, Daddy. He just messing with me. Jody just nailed him to the wall. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of proud. Whip that boy. I did. I shouldn't have been like, that. Don't you tell that to that girl. I said, don't you ever hit nobody else. You understand? Don't you ever do that. Where to go, girl? No, you can't do that. You can't gather and just watch me close. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching out to those things which are before. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. The reason why some of you haven't received some of the things that you need in life, spiritual, physical, financial, is not because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. But you see, you have a lot of storage. You need to clear your banks, the computer banks. You need to go down there and do a cleansing. If you're a lawyer, stripping the files. If you're a lawyer, you know what I'm talking about. You strip them files. In other words, because you're carrying all that stuff, you don't need to carry. So when I see someone that's done me harm or doesn't do me, I still go up to them. I'll buy them dinner. I'll say this in close. I had a guy eating my lunch terribly. Well, we were invited to a banquet, to a minister's thing. Luncheon, not a banquet. I said luncheon. Well, guess what? I believe the Lord did this on purpose. The only seat open was next to him. And he must have been 250, 300 people. I just came in and sat by him. I said, how you doing, man? He's going, pfft. I mean, he's so mad. I said, what's up, brother? How you doing? What's up? Hey, how you doing? Oh, Lord, geez, I was lighting his candle. He just couldn't stand it. It was just driving him nuts, but it was helping him. Finally, I said, man, I heard you've been talking a lot about me. Thanks for the publicity. I said, you know, I ain't up, and very few people in that town didn't know me till you start talking about me. And I just want to say thank you, because you filled up the church by doing that. They came to see if I really was like that. I really appreciate that. I ought to use you more in my advertising. And his wife says, why don't you like him? He's never done you anything wrong. Oh, now that, he goes, she said, he's been like a brother to you and done nothing but helped you. She said, you're jealous. Ooh, Jesus, if looks could hit, he'd have killed his wife right there. She said, you're envious of him. He is better than you. I said, listen, I didn't say that. She said, ah. I said, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. I know him. He could be better, but he refuses to be because he's insecure. Now, this poor guy is getting nailed. I said, you insecure? What you insecure about? None of your business. I said, but I might be able to help you. No, I don't want to help you. So I'll tell you what he's insecure about. She said, yeah, Mama's wife telling me. Thank God that the wife was on my side. I said, well, I'll tell you one thing I know about you. What? That you're called to God, that you truly love the Lord Jesus. And that you're a great man. It broke him right there. Boom. I said, you know, I'm glad we're on the same team. We just play different positions. But our goal is to win this thing. I said, we can agree to disagree on a lot of things. And you're probably right in 90% of them, and I'm wrong in 90%, but that's okay. Jesus loves us both, and we're in the same positions. I mean, we're on the same team, but just different positions. But the goal is to get, and I use it like a football, to get that ball across between the goalposts. I said, then we've done our job. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, one more. A whole denomination turned against this man. Whoo! And brother, when a denomination turns against you, they can hurt you. Because his wife messed up. This is a good man. And it's his fault that his wife messed up. But then nailing him to the wall. I gave him money to get out of town. They didn't care if that man died. Because they never forgot what his wife did. That was a good man. He pastored in this area. Boy, he came to my office. I said, let me help you. Boy, tears in his eye. I said, you ain't got to tell me nothing. You're a good man. I said, you know what's wrong with your wife? He said, but just she asked God to forgive her. I said, what's wrong with your wife is those men have not let her forget what she did. There's nothing wrong with her. It's wrong for her to remember it. He said, well, we can't be here no more. I said, I understand. Here's the money. Go. Boy, and I saw him years and years later in a big church. He said, you the only man that helped me. I said, well, you know, I read a scripture where King David said, no one cared for my soul. I said, buddy, I've been there. I have been there. I said, so, I said, but you know what? Forget those things. Let's go forward from this day forward. And now he's doing wonderfully well. See what I'm saying? Forgetting those things which are behind. I mean, what good is it to rehash it? So I'll say this to the world. We've had a moral failure in Colorado Springs. Do I agree with it? No. His name is Ted Haggard. You know it and I know it. It's wrong. It's totally, completely wrong. It's hypocritical. What else you want me to say? Because it's true. Yeah, it is. But you know, God's mercy endures forever. So what we need to do is forget that and let God handle that. And let's pray for the people in Colorado that were hurt. So to all the ministers that are watching today, there are some sins you should not do. And if you got a problem leaning toward that, go find you someone that will help you. And don't be so big that you don't think anybody can help you. And receive that. Be honest enough to say, I'm struggling with something. And I need help. Now, you shouldn't do those things. I agree 100%. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to rehash that. I still got people want me to talk about the PTL scandal, the Jimmy Swagger scandal, and all these other scandals. Man, most of them were in Louisiana. I was glad when another one happened in a different state. I was kind of glad of that. Thank you, Jesus. You know. But you know what? That water under the bridge. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean they can go just do anything. Oh, yeah, Besaka. Thank you, Lord. You're like Samson. I know what you're thinking. See, Samson was anointed. See what I'm saying? He was anointed. He's God's judge. Powerful man. Messed up women. Got his eyes put out. Gristmill. Cut his hair off. Lost his anointing. His anointing was in his hair or in his covering, if you want to call it such. Walking around the gristmill. He repented on the gristmill. He did. His hair began to grow back, which means his anointing came back. So let me help you that have fallen. You want to get back into that pulpit. It's not your time. Yeah, but my anointing's present. I know. But you're still blind. See, Samson's anointing had come back. But he was still blind. He had to have someone lead him. Best time to get back in a pulpit is not when your anointing comes back, when your eyes get healed. See what I'm saying? And you're going to have to do that by forgiving yourself and forgetting what you did. And if somebody ever throw it up in your face, which they will, that's okay. You just say, well, Lord, I ask the Lord to forgive me and I pray that you forgive me. And always stay humble and always stay contrite. And eventually it will dissolve. But if you keep it in the back of your mind, it will never dissolve. So remember this, the anointing may come back quicker than you thought, but you're still blind. And what you sow, you're going to reap. So you're going to walk a gristmill a while. Remember that. But that's all right, is if you can learn to never make the same mistake twice. Do you agree with that, ladies and gentlemen? Stand to your feet. People have been asking me to address this thing, and that's how I did. I just addressed it. Ain't no use no more to talk about that. We let God handle that. We pray for the family, for the church, for the evangelical movement. Okay? Because that's the best thing to do. Do I agree with it? No. I will never agree with it. Neither will God. But it is forgivable. You know, when Adam sinned, he lost the presence of God. But he didn't lose the voice of God. He had to get out the garden. That's it. Couldn't walk in the cool of the day no more. But the voice of God followed him out of the garden. So all to you, Mr. Haggard, you hadn't lost the voice of God. And you're a New Testament believer. And you made a terrible mistake. But if you will forgive yourself and the Lord has forgiven you, then I will forgive you. And I'll say it on a worldwide, I will not talk about this no more. I'm not going to let the devil hash and rehash this for months in the media. Like they did with the Jimmy Swaggart scandal, PTL scandal. So if somebody says something, says, we prayed, that's between God and that man, and we will no longer discuss it. And it shuts down anything Satan wants to do. So if you get that thought in your mind, say, Lord, pray for the individual. Forget those things which are behind. Take the person's hand next to you. Father, I thank you today for this message, that it goes inside of people's hearts. That it's the forgetting is a fine art of living, because it comes out of character. I ask you to minister to the people today, spiritually, physically, financially, every area. Those that are watching all over the world by internet, by the web, and also those that are here present at Covenant Church. So Lord, if anyone in this building has done something wrong, I ask you to forgive them. So everybody repeat this with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to the Lord. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved, renewed, justified, sanctified by God Almighty. I forget the past, because the past never sees the future. Today is a new day. My future will soon become my present. I speak it and declare it today. In Jesus' mighty name, give the Lord a standing ovation. Did you enjoy it this morning?